Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the JinkoSolar fourth quarter full year 2014 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, 2nd March 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Sebastian Liu, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2014 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about company's business strategy, and then Mr. Cao will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under applicable laws. Please be noted that to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, JinkoSolar uses certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate JinkoSolar's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers are measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be viewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Sebastian。各位早上、晚上 好， 感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
公司以强劲的业绩完整年度收 官， 四季度实现营收$4.789 亿， 同比增长 35.8%， 组件总出货量达到创纪录的1,078兆 瓦， 其中包括自有项目出货339兆 瓦， 实现收入同比增长 35.8%。2014年全年组件出货上升到2,944兆 瓦， 其中包括自有项目出货520兆 瓦， 得益于四季度成本结构进一步改善和稳定的平均售 价， 公司第四季度实现毛利率环比增长达到 22.8%， 全年平均年毛利率为 22.4%， 对比2013年为 20.3%。盈利方面，公司四季度净利润$3,940 万， 全年净利润超过$1 亿， 实现了年初我们对投资者的承诺。
We closed out the year on a strong note, with total revenue during the fourth quarter reaching $478.9 million, representing a 35.8% increase over the same period last year. As module shipment reached a record high of 1,078 MW, which include 339 MW designated for our own downstream business. Our strong fourth quarter result in total module shipments for 2014 growing significantly to 2,944 MW, including 520 MW designated for our own downstream business. Gross margin in the fourth quarter improved sequentially, reaching 22.8% as costs continued to improve and ASP stabilized. Gross margin for the entire year reached 22.4%, compared with 20.3% in 2013. When looking at our bottom line, we achieved $39.4 million for the fourth quarter in net profit and over $100 million for the whole year, fulfilling our promise to investors at the beginning of the year.
公司下游业务持续发展, 4季度发电收入达到 8,040万人民币, 环比增长 68.6%, 本季度完成 270兆瓦项目建设, 其中 150兆瓦已并网发电, 截至 2014年 12月31号, 公司已经并网发电的项目总量达到 503兆瓦, 由于冬季严寒气候, 以及年底并网进度放缓的原因, 4季度并网总量低于公司预期。 我们会在2015年上半年加快并网进程, 并计划新增并网约 360兆瓦。
Our downstream business continued to gain momentum with electricity revenues from the solar project reaching 18.4 million RMB in the fourth quarter, representing an increase of 38.6% sequentially. We completed 270 megawatts worth of a project during the quarter, of which 150 megawatts were connected to the grid, bringing our total number of connected projects to 503 megawatts. A cold winter and slower grid connection process at the end of the year resulted in a lower number of megawatts being connected to the grid than we initially anticipated. But we expect that to make it up. And during the first half of 2015, we're connecting approximately 350 megawatts of projects.
随着项目并网量和项目储备的不断扩张, 市场对公司下游业务的分拆关注度持续提升。
Interest in the spin-off of our downstream business continues to grow as both our project connection and pipeline expands. Management is working to move the spin-off process forward and will update the market when progress is made.
即使受到低油价的影响,我们认为2015年全球太阳能需求将增长 15%到20%。 公司也将继续多元化全球市场布局。我们认为，油价下跌对太阳能的基本面影响十分有限。在大多数太阳能市场，只有主要用于交通运输而不是发电。天然气也是同理。即使在美国，也仅对公用事业太阳能发电市场造成有限影响。最后，我们还应注意，在很多重要太阳能市场，尤其是中国。
We continue to diversify our market presence as global solar demand in 2015 is expected to grow by 15 to 20% despite low oil prices. The price of oil, in fact, has a limited impact on solar fundamentals, as it is mainly used for transportation rather than power generation in most of the key solar markets. The same applies to natural gas, which only has a limited ability to challenge the solar utility market in the U.S. Last but not least, we also noticed there is a mounting concern over the environment that has been one of the driven factors of increased solar demand in many key markets, China in particular.
尽管美国商务部2012年贸易争端案件行政复审出台结果乐观，公司仍将进一步优化全球产能布局。 并计划在海外不受太阳能贸易争端影响的地区设置电子片以及组件生产基地。通过有效的资源管理，我们希望在全球主要太阳能市场巩固领先地位，并进一步开拓例如拉丁美洲以及印度等有潜力的新兴市场。
With the preliminary result of the adjustment from the U.S. Department of Commerce on the 2012 trade case were positive, we remain focused on further diversifying our production capacity geographically by establishing overseas production facilities for both cells and modules in regions unaffected by a frequent solar trade disputes. By managing our resources efficiently, we aim to strengthen our position as a leading solar supplier in key solar markets, while at the same time pushing further into exciting emerging markets with great growth potential such as Latin America and India.
公司经验丰富的研发团队持续进行创新并带来高效的产品。在最近德国 TUV 莱茵上海测试中心的独立测试中，金科能源 Eagle 60片多晶组件的实验室测试功率达到 334.5 瓦，这是我们继2014年12月创纪录的 306.9 瓦之后再创新高，远高于行业平均的255瓦。上月公司在日本的最大智能光伏项目提供智能组件，这是我们致力于综合智能解决方案，并从光伏组件的智能化扩展到建造系统智能化的第一步。
Our experienced R&D teams and their ability to consistently deliver innovative and high-efficiency products have allowed us to achieve new heights of module power output. During the recent independent testing conducted at TÜV Rheinland Shanghai Testing Center, lab power output for Jinko Solar's Eagle Plus 16-cell multi-PV modules reached 334.5 watts, a new record that broke previous records of 300.and 6.9 watts also set by us in December 2014. This is significantly higher than industry average of 255 watts. Last month, we signed a contract to provide smart modules to the largest PV project fully equipped with smart components in Japan. This is only the first step towards our goal of developing an integrated, intelligent solution from smart modules to intelligent solar PV systems.
公司在2014年取得了很多成绩，并持续向一站式能源方案提供商转型。即使面临挑战，我对公司管理团队以及公司战略充满信心。我们将继续充分运用公司领先的技术力量、全球化的布局以及强大的金融支持，实现2015年业务的持续增长，并力创再创佳绩。
We accomplished a lot in 2014 as we continue to push forward with our effort to transform into a one-stop energy solution provider. While we continue to face challenges, I have the utmost confidence in our management team and our strategy as we eagerly looking forward to leveraging our industry-leading technology, global presence, and deep relationships with financial institutions to grow our business further and deliver solid financial results in 2015.
公司首席战略官 Atolo 将向大家介绍公司第四季度在销售和市场方面的主要成绩，以及2015年第一季度公司在主要国家与地区的战略与市场前景。
Atolo Herrero, our Chief Strategy Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the fourth quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the first quarter 2015 in key countries and regions.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Good evening to everybody. Good morning in the USA. During the year 2014, we benefited from having built strong brand recognition and grew our worldwide market share across geographically diverse PV markets, including China, Europe, USA, and emerging markets. Our high-quality, cost-leading products and successful sales and marketing strategies continue to attract new and existing customers.As we expand our business both in size and geographic reach to over 59 countries and over 762 customers. We continue to diversify our customer portfolio in the fourth quarter last year as we rapidly expanded our market share in the industrial, commercial, and residential segments. Shipment growth and demand for Jinko Solar modules grew faster than expected due to strong demand from China, USA, and UK.But also in emerging markets such as Chile. We were once again able to exceed our growth targets and continue to grow rapidly in Asia Pacific, mainly in Japan and India. We are making good inroads into several new markets, including Turkey, Middle East, Brazil, Central America, and Asia Pacific markets. During the year 2014, we made sales to over 59 countries. Our presence in the USA.Has been strong despite the anti-dumping challenges and countervailing duties. While we have been difficulties in the European markets, we have overcome most of them by relocating our shipments to other countries, such as the UK. A big portion of our shipments went to China, allowing us to maintain the number one position in our country. We expect to achieve similar results for the full year 2015, as we believe we will benefit from the government support and announced targets. Over the past few quarters, we have made great progress in Chile, Central America, Mexico, and Brazil, and we expect more shipments with the establishment of more new local sale offices in these emerging markets, following our localization strategy. We also expanded into several new markets during last year. During the quarter, we shipped 66 megawatts to emerging markets, bringing total shipments for the year to a total quantity of 320 megawatts. Our sales efforts also led to fruitful relationships with well-known developers in the African continent, where we see growing demand and expect more business throughout the year 2015. With regard to the United States, we are increasing our market share substantially. We are very strong in utility-scale business, and with winter over, the U.S. market will be ramping up strongly again. We are also penetrating into residential and commercial sectors, so we expect to capitalize fully on these opportunities. In the last quarter of 2014, total solar product shipments to the third parties amounted to 838 megawatts, consisting of 739 megawatts of solar modules, 53 of silicon wafers, and 45 of solar cells. We delivered approximately 34% of our solar modules to China, around 12% to the USA, around 28% to Europe, including 13% to UK, and 9% to emerging markets, 17% to Asia Pacific, mainly to Japan and India. For the whole year 2014, our geographical distribution and market diversification improved. Our expanded geographic exposure reduced the risk Jinko Solar faces when changes take place in specific countries' policies. For this year, 2015, we'll continue to capitalize on the growing recognition of the Jinko Solar brand and localized sales and marketing services to expand our market and diversify our customers and geographic portfolio. We continue to build our strong partnership network with distributors, PV developers, and EPC contractors across the globe. For 2014, we have signed some big new contracts, including contracts with Enel Green Power, Acciona, EFASEC, and leading utilities from France and Chile. Thanks to our good brand recognition in the USA, we closed big contracts with big customers such as EDP, Renovables for emerging markets, and IMEC, which increases our exposure and our market share in the USA. We also continue to sign new contracts supporting current existing customers in Europe, despite the uncertain solar policy and market landscape, as customers have come to rely on our high-quality products and services. During the fourth quarter, we signed a variety of important contracts, including also in India and Gujarat for 21 megawatt project, 80 megawatt contract for China General Nuclear Power Group, and an important distribution contract in Mexico. Regarding marketing, the rapid global expansion of our business has provided excellent exposure for Jinko Solar brand, especially in the USA, Europe, and emerging markets, where we have engaged in PR campaigns. For the full year 2015, we plan on further expanding our communication activities, as well as attending approximately 15 solar and renewable energy exhibitions and further conferences. We are currently sponsoring the several events, exhibitions, and PV conference. And besides, we continue having the benefits of our brand and close partnership with Solar PV TV, the first worldwide internet TV portal completely and solely devoted to solar PV technology and business. We are also actively members of Solar Business Today, that is a non-profit organization to support the business worldwide to promote PV in several steps of the society. Regarding subsidiaries, we have been establishing local subsidiaries and local manufacturing as key strategy of Jinko Solar, and developing long-term customer relationships and expanding our business in important markets. We plan to establish new factories for cell and modules overseas, which will bring extra capacities and will be increase our cell and module production from China, outside China, and outside South Africa and Portugal, and our 16 existing factories. In 2014, we established new offices for sales and marketing in Japan, USA, and Chile. We also expect to open representative offices in the second half of the year to support our rapid global expansion and provide customers with local support. In terms of ASP, solar modules ASP remains stable thanks to Europe and US constraints on import taxes and agreed MIP. ASP have been relatively strong, but we expect a slightly decrease because of the feeding tariff cuts in countries such as Japan and currency impact on euro and yen versus US dollar. Our ASP in last year was over 0.63 US dollar per watt. We see this as an opportunity for Jinko. So, as we are cost leader in the industry, due in large part to our vertical integration and industry-leading supply chain management, and having gained significant brand recognition in all these markets. Now, I would like to turn the call over to our CFO, Charlie, who will introduce our financial results and guidance for the first quarter of the year 2015.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and evening to everyone on the call. First, I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the fourth quarter and the full year 2014, followed by first quarter and full year 2015 guidance. As Mr. Chen mentioned earlier, total solar product shipments to third parties in the fourth quarter of 2014 were 838.2 megawatts. Total revenues were $478.9 million, an increase of 16% sequentially and an increase of 35.8% year over year. Gross margin was 22.8% compared to 20.6% in the third quarter of 2014 and 24.7% in the fourth quarter of 2013. The sequential increase in gross margin was primarily due to the continued cost reductions and higher gross margins from electricity revenues of solar power projects. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production was 24.3% in the fourth quarter of 2014, compared to 23.3% in the third quarter of 2014 and 24.3% in the fourth quarter of 2013. Income from operations was $38.1 million compared to $39.1 million in the third quarter of 2014 and $43.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2013. Total operating expenses were $71.2 million, representing an increase of 53% sequentially and an increase of 58.5% year over year. The sequential increase was mainly due to the increase in the stock-based compensation expenses, R&D expenses, the disposal of obsolete fixed assets, and shipping and warranty costs associated with the increase of module shipments. The company's operating expenses, excluding stock-based compensation expenses, the provision for doubtful accounts, and disposal of obsolete fixed assets, represented 13.1% of its total revenues, up from 11.5% sequentially and up from 11.5% year over year. Operating margin was 8% compared to 9.4% in the third quarter of 2014 and 12% in the fourth quarter of 2013. Net interest expense was $13.2 million, an increase of 12.4% sequentially and an increase of 53.9% year over year. We recorded an exchange loss of $1.1 million, primarily due to the foreign exchange loss of $7.3 million, offset by a gain in the fair value of forward contracts of $6.2 million. We recognized a gain of $21.3 million in change in fair value of convertible senior notes and a loss from the change in fair value of capped call options of $8.4 million. The company recognized an income tax benefit of $1.5 million compared to an income tax benefit of $25.1 million in the third quarter of 2014 and an income tax expense of $57,000 in the fourth quarter of 2013. Net income was $39.4 million compared to $45.7 million in the third quarter of 2014 and $27.1 million in the fourth quarter of 2013. This translates into basic earnings per ADS of $1.28 and diluted earnings per ADS of 52 cents, respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $38.2 million compared to $55.7 million in the third quarter of 2014 and $37.8 million in the fourth quarter of 2013. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.24 and $1, respectively. Now, I'll briefly review our full-year 2014 financial results. Total revenues for 2014 were $1.61 billion, an increase of 41% from $1.17 billion in 2013. Income from operations for 2014 was $150.1 million, compared to $106.6 million for 2013. Operating margin for 2014 was 9.3%, compared to 9.1% for 2013. Total operating expenses in 2014 were $210.9 million, an increase of 65.2% from $130.8 million in 2013. Operating expenses represented 13.1% of total revenues for 2014, compared to 11.2% for 2013. The company recognized an income tax benefit of $21.7 million in 2014, compared to a tax expense of $3.1 million in 2013. Net income for 2014 was $108.5 million, compared to $31.1 million in 2013. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $3.52 and $2.48, respectively. Non-GAAP net income in 2014 was $129 million, compared to $71.4 million in 2013. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted income per ADS of $4.20 and $3.36, respectively. I'd now like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of December 31st, 2014, the company had $369.7 million in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash. As of December 31st, 2014, total short-term borrowings, including the current portion of long-term bank borrowings, were $420.2 million, compared to $347.1 million as of September 30, 2014. Total long-term borrowings were $154.2 million as of December 31, 2014, compared to $152.9 million as of September 30, 2014. As of December 31, 2014, the company's working capital was negative $18.7 million, compared to positive $165.4 million as of September 30, 2014, which was primarily due to the rapid investment in solar power projects. For the first quarter of 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 710 megawatts to 780 megawatts, which includes 550 megawatts to 600 megawatts module shipments to third parties and 160 megawatts to 180 megawatts for its own downstream projects. Revenue will not be recognized for the modules shipped to its own downstream projects as required by U.S. GAAP. For the full year 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in a range of 3.3 gigawatts to 3.8 gigawatts, which includes 2.7 gigawatts to 3 gigawatts module shipments to third parties. Total new project development scale in 2015 is expected to be in the range of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions Operator.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. Your first question comes from the line of Patrick Jobin from Credit Suisse. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the question, guys. First question is on your operating expenses at 13.1%, excluding those charges. How should we think about that trending for the next few quarters?
Hey, Patrick, thanks for your questions. I think for the operating expenses, in the fourth quarter, as a percentage of revenue, it's 14% compared to 11% in the third quarter. The increase of operating expenses was primarily due to the stock-based compensation expenses, R&D expenses, disposal of obsolete fixed assets, and shipping and warranty costs associated with the increase of module shipments. In the fourth quarter, we granted stock options to return and provide incentive to the key employees for the anticipated future growth for our business. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, we continue to invest in R&D to improve our sales conversion efficiencies. In terms of shipments in the fourth quarter, we have bigger shipments in UK, US, and Japan. The shipping cost is relatively higher than the shipping costs in China. Looking to 2015, we continue to see the operating leverage. Thanks to the shipment increase and revenue increase, we expect the operating expenses as a percentage of revenue is going to be in a range of 10% to 12%.
Okay, thank you. Two simple questions. First, when I think about the 503 megawatts of projects that are connected to the grid, I'm just trying to think of it in context to the JinkoSolar Power spinoff. What or how many of those megawatts are receiving the subsidy portion of the feed-in tariff today, and what do you think is the current average delay in receiving those payments?
Okay. I think it's a good question. And in terms of feed-in tariff payment, we continue to see improvement. In the fourth quarter, we received $5 million U.S. dollars for the renewable subsidy for our downstream projects. In general, I think you understand the renewable subsidy is paid once the projects are on the last list of subsidy catalog. And in the fourth quarter, for some projects, even we are waiting for the final approval of subsidy catalog, we received subsidy. For example, for the DG projects in Zhejiang province, in the fourth quarter, we received all the feed-in tariff. For the utility scale projects in Jiangsu province, we received the local subsidy. And we expect China will further accelerate approval for the subsidy catalog. And the next round subsidy catalog is expected to be approved by the end of second quarter. We had 503 megawatts in operation by the end of 2014. And as of today, we have 100 megawatts is on the list of subsidy catalog. By the end of second quarter, we expect the total 350 megawatts is going to be on the list. And the DSO for the electricity revenue receivable now it's 6 months. And we expect the DSO will improve to 3 months step by step in 2015.
Thank you. And then just lastly on the capacity expansion, is it correct to assume that of the 500 megawatts of cell and 800 megawatts of module capacity, all of that would be outside of China, or is any of that within China? Thank you.
Okay. This is also a very good question. I think in terms of our capacity, by the end of 2014, our capacity is 2.5 gigawatts for vapor, 2 gigawatts for cell, and 3.2 gigawatts for solar modules. We are running the capacities at 100% in the fourth quarter, and due to the capacity constraints and also strong demand in UK and Japan, we control our shipment in China. And we are looking to expand our capacity by 20 to 25% in 2015 and reach the total capacities to 2.5 gigawatts for wafer, 2.5 gigawatts for cell, and 4 gigawatts for solar modules. The capacity addition will come from our new factories in overseas market. We have made a strategic decision to start the construction of our new factories in a country located in Southeast Asia. The total capacity is around 500 megawatts cell and 450 megawatts solar modules. We expect the capacity will start production in May 2015. We believe the overseas factory will give us more flexibility to serve the key solar markets in the future and get around the international trade disputes. In China, we don't have significant capacity expansion plan. We may expand the module capacity to meet the strong demand in 2015. On the wafer and cell side, our focus is to upgrade existing equipment to improve the efficiency and output.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I'd like to start off with your bookings. You know, how do your bookings look so far for Q1, and how do you expect ASPs to trend in the first quarter?
Okay. In terms of capacity booking, Q1 is fully booked, and over 60% is booked for the second quarter 2015. The ASP in the Q1, we expect the ASP will go down slightly due to the continued depreciation of Euro and the Japanese Yen. And in the rest of the year, we expect the ASP will be relatively stabilized.
Great, thanks, Charlie. And then as for my follow-up, how do you guys think about gross margins and how they might trend sequentially in Q1?
Okay. I can give some color, okay, for the 2015 gross margin trend. We don't give the guidance, basically, on the gross margin, but we expect the gross margin in the first quarter 2015 will go down slightly with the result of different factors. Firstly, we expect the ASP will go down slightly due to the continued depreciation of Euro and Japanese Yen. And on the cost side, actually, we are targeting cut the total module cost by 8% to 10% in 2015 and make the total module cost in the range of 40 cents to 41 cents per watt by the end of 2015, which means for each quarter, we expect 1 cent per watt reductions. Certainly, I think, we expect the increase, continued rapid increase of the electricity revenues from the solar projects with higher gross margins. Now, we are seeing, the depreciation of RMB, which will improve the gross margin as well, because our total module cost is denominated in RMB. And back to your question, we believe the Q1 2015, the gross margin will go down slightly, and the gross margin in the second quarter will be stabilized. And in the second half year, 2015, the gross margin will improve with the first is the stabilization of currency movement, and second one is the continued cost reductions. Third one, the rapid increase of electricity revenues from the solar project business with more capacity in operation. And in the second half year, we just discussed, we plan to shift the modules from our overseas factories to the U.S. market without tariff. We expect the gross margin is going to be in the range of 25% to 30%.
Great. Thanks. And one more, if I may. Can you provide us an update on your downstream listing process? Specifically, can you talk about what conditions might be required to list? And what's the potential timing, and where do you expect to list? Thanks, Charlie.
Sure. I think our first choice is to go the U.S. IPO, and we are actively evaluating all the factors, including capital market conditions, valuation, and detailed timetables. We'll discuss in details with analysts and investors when we reach significant milestone for our IPO process. For the project development scale and target in 2015, it's in a range of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts. We target to reach 800 megawatts to 1 gigawatts in operation by the end of the second quarter 2015, and 1.5 gigawatts projects in operations by the end of 2015. And we believe the project scale and quality are sufficient for a successful IPO in 2015.
Great, thank you. I'll jump back in queue.
Your next question comes from Frank He from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. The first question is a follow-up on the gross margin side. In Q4, if we excluding the electricity sales gross profit, we estimate the margin for modules is still 22%, up 2 percentage points in Q-on-Q. So I just wonder, given that the ASP in Q4 is generally down on Q-on-Q basis, how does the cost change to increase the margins in Q4?
Okay, the Q4 gross margin was 22.8%, up from 20.6% in the third quarter. It's contributed by the continued cost reductions for our solar modules and higher electricity revenues from solar project business. You know, our total module cost was 45 cents by the end of 2014, the lowest in the industry. In terms of ASP, you know, in the fourth quarter, it's 60 cents, which is the same to the, you know, the ASP in the third quarter.
Okay, got it. And the second question is regarding your receivables. And we see that you have around $500 million USD receivable. And just wonder how much is related to the electricity sales by end of last year.
Electricity revenue receivable, it's roughly $27 million. If you calculate the, I just said the DSO for the downstream project business, it's around 6 months. 6 months. You know, the electricity revenue for the fourth quarter is $13 million, and the receivable is $27 million.
Okay. Last question is about your guidance for CapEx and operating cash flow for 2015.
In terms of CapEx, I think the CapEx of the Jinko group is composed of two components. The first one is the CapEx for the manufacturing business. It's in a range of $100 million to $120 million, including $70 million for the overseas new factories and $30 million to $50 million CapEx for the maintenance and upgrades for the equipment in China. And for the downstream projects, you know, CapEx, it's in a range of $700 million to $900 million based on our project scale in a range of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
The next question comes from Colin Rusch from Northland Capital Markets. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks so much. Can you walk us through the current dynamics on electricity payments in China? Are you factoring receivables at this point? And how consistently are those revenues coming in? And what's the delay at this point?
In terms of, you know, the payment or electricity revenues, I think, you know, we are seeing the improvement. And also, you know, I just said the Chinese government is accelerating, you know, the approval process. And some province, you know, we are seeing the provincial government is pushing very hard for the payment of the subsidy. In terms of discounting of the accounts receivable for electricity revenues, we are in discussion with some, you know, financial institutions.
And where are those discussions at this point? Are you close to being able to monetize those receivables, or or do you feel like you're still in the early stages of those discussions?
Firstly, we believe the payment of feed-in tariff will improve significantly in the first half year 2015. And second one is, you know, in terms of discussing, it's you know, we are in discussion with various banks, and I think it's in the earlier stage currently.
Okay, perfect. And then in terms of geographic mix for 1Q and 2Q, can you talk a little bit about how those are shifting from 4Q into 1Q and then what you're seeing so far with your orders in 2Q?
Okay, I think Art will take this question.
Yeah, this is Art here. So mainly the mix has been improved, and we can see that it helps JinkoSolar to diversify our distribution approach and also to reduce our exposure and risk in case of uncertainties on changing on the tariff of the subsidies or the support from government. So in mainly during the 2014 last year, we were mixing between China that took around 40%, Asia Pacific around 12%, Europe 15% thanks to UK, and then emerging markets 13%, and North America, USA, mainly 17%. And going forward for Q1 and Q2, we are even diversifying further, but still China is taking the major part, obviously, but we are entering into new countries with some good insights in emerging markets, where we are seeing quite good growth in markets like Chile, Mexico, and in the future in Brazil too.
Okay. And I just want to add more comments on the, you know, the 2015, the demand. We believe the demand is more diverse, and you know, the total global demand is around 53 gigawatts, up 20%. And in the first quarter, strong demand from UK and Japan. In the second quarter and the second half year 2015, strong demand for US, China, and emerging markets will offset any potential weakness in Japan, UK after the reduction of feed-in tariff. For JinkoSolar in 2015, our shipment is more balanced. And China is in a range of 30 to 35%. Asia Pacific region, 20 to 25% for the full year 2015. Okay, China is 30 to 35%. Asia Pacific region, 20 to 25%. Europe, 12% to 15%. Emerging market, 5% to 10%. And North America, 18% to 24%.
Great. And then one final question. Demand in China right now, are you seeing an acceleration in demand yet? Are we still kind of working through typical seasonality? How should we think about the trajectory on the China market?
So the first quarter in China, the demand is relatively soft due to the typical seasonality and the Chinese New Year. But we believe the seasonality in Q1 China will not become so obvious because, firstly, the projects which did not connect to the grid by the end of 2014 will continue the construction in the first quarter. Second one is the projects in the East Coast can start construction in the winter season. And for the total 2015, you know, China is proposing 15 gigawatts connection target, up 40% year over year. So we are very optimistic. We believe it's a realistic mix with 8 gigawatts utility scale projects and 7 gigawatts DG projects, including 3 gigawatts rooftop projects. And the, you know, China cut the interest rate last week by 25 basis points. And China is expected to cut the interest rate by two or three times in 2015. It's going to lift our economics and the returns for the projects. We did some sensitivity analysis for our projects. If the interest rate cut by 100 basis point, the IRR with leverage is going to increase by 160 basis point.
All right. Perfect, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Colin.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Gordon Johnson from Axiom Capital Management. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, guys.
Hello.
Can you talk a little bit about the increase in receivables and inventories that we saw this quarter, and I guess what the puts and takes around that are, as well as is there any risk that maybe some of that inventory is in Europe and Japan, and there could be potential write-downs later this year? And then I have a follow-up.
The receivable by the end of 2014 is around $500 million, up 13%. It's due to the increase of revenue. If you look at our revenue, the revenue increased by 16%. And in terms of DSO, it's quite healthy. Our DSO is around 95 days. And Golden, I think you understand, we have some big exposures in Chinese market. In China, the payment term is typically longer than the international market. We have taken very strict credit controls for our Chinese customers. So we didn't see any deterioration in any particular regions for our receivables. And for the inventories, it's around $300 million. The relatively higher inventory level is due to, you know, the anticipated strong shipments in the first quarter for both the third parties and our downstream projects.
I think, Gordon, especially it's for our own downstream projects, not for the European market or particularly in Japan markets. So you don't have to worry about any, you know, further write down of those inventory.
Yeah. If you look at our inventory turnover days, it's around 65 days. I think it's one of the lowest, you know,
among
the industry.
Okay. Yeah, that's extremely helpful. And then just lastly, one of your peers, Harion, reported earnings earlier, and clearly you guys aren't the same company, but they did highlight that they saw some, not concerning, but some issues around selling projects and delays in buying projects, specifically in China. So if you guys could comment on that. And also, just lastly, on ASPs, we've heard anecdotally that the spread between ASPs in China and Japan has narrowed significantly. So if you could comment on that. And again, thanks for the questions, guys.
I think, you know, in terms of projects in China, you know, Jinko's business model is very clear. We build the projects by ourselves and to make sure the lowest cost of the solar projects, higher the economic returns for the projects. So our methodology is to hold and to build and hold the projects and spring off in the capital market to maximize the values. And for the ASP in China and Japan, I think Q4 the ASP increased by 1 cent per watt. It's in the range of 56 cents to 57 cents in the Q4. In the Q1, the demand in China is relatively soft, but the price is it's about 55 cents, and we expect that the price will be stabilized.
And also your question about the price in Japan. In fact, if you measure the price, ASPs, in local currency, it's quite stable. But mainly because of the depreciation of yen. So,
yes,
you'll see some a decline of the ASP in Japan, but still it's in the range of 57 to 59 cents.
I think Sebastian, it's correct. In terms of the ASP in Japan, if you measure it in local currency, it's stabilized. For Jinko, it's around 68 yen per watt. And, you know, we are facing some pressures from the currency movement, including euro and Japanese yen. But for Jinko, we entered a forward contract to mitigate the impact. And, you know, our shipment exposure in Japan and also in euro is not significant compared to our peers. And in Japan, over 40% sales is done in the U.S. dollars, so which is kind of immune to the currency movement. So we don't think anticipate significant profitability impact in the first quarter due to the currency movement.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Sebastian Liu, please continue.
Okay. So on behalf of the entire Jinko Solar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call.
Very good.
You have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.